Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place of air related to Amazon and FBA Parallel on e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring another special guest. His name is Dan Melnick, and he's the founder and CEO of Sync, which is, you know, one of the top solutions out there when it comes to helping a brand succeed in the D2C space, everything that has to do with solutions such as Shopify, WooCommerce, and much more. So that's why I wanted to bring Dan today, because his expertise in the space is significant. And I know a lot of Amazon brands that listen to our show and watch the show are always asking, you know, how do I grow my brand beyond Amazon? What are some of the things I have to consider when I jump into the D2C space? And we're going to be having a lot of conversation around that today. So Dan, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, man. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. And you know, for those that maybe might not know you, just give us a quick intro by yourself about Sync, and then let's jump into the topic, yeah?
Sure, yeah. So I live here in Austin, Texas. I started this company about 3 years ago, but I've been in e-commerce since 2011. My first e-commerce business was an eBay store. I used to sell autographs online, and I started that back when I was growing up in the Chicago area. I'd go to downtown Chicago, I go get autographs and sell them online. And then, yeah, after that, I had a different company, not e-commerce, but I met a really good developer who was my partner. And he was like, hey, why don't we go and try and get some clients together? We had some good results early on, a client that raised about $15 million. And wow, that validated our skill level. And after that, I said, listen, like, let's go and do this full time. So yeah, we're a full service D2C agency. So Meta ads, CRO, email marketing, really helping brands scale from their D2C side of things.
Love it. So I think, that's why I'm very excited to have you, because on the D2C side of things, if I'm honest with you, everything that has to do with the strategies are surrounded that, a lot of Amazon sellers significantly struggle, mainly because they come from a marketplace where, you know, a lot of things that you have to do on the D2C side of things don't really exist. You don't really have to have realistically, optimization in terms of email marketing or having your own website kind of dynamic test in terms of the colors and everything, or figure out how to do retargeting. A lot of things are much simplistic in the Amazon kind of ecosystem. And I think what I want to talk on today is what are some of the basics people have to figure out to successfully scale the brand D2C, because if you don't get the basics correctly, then at the end of the day, whatever you do after is not going to scale any further. So tell us, you know, starting from, the foundation, like, what are some of the things you see people struggling the most when it comes to scaling and getting started on the D2C side of things? Yeah,
for sure. Well, first of all, getting your own website is super important, but not just any website, right? Your website should be optimized for conversion. And what we're seeing today is 70 to 80% of customers are coming from mobile. So make sure it's very optimized and frictionless on mobile. And then you're handling every objection possible on your site. So similar to Amazon, you want to have FAQs. You want to have a guarantee, right? You want to make sure that when somebody goes to your site from cold traffic, that there's no reason for somebody not to buy your product, right? So every single objection is answered. There's a guarantee to say, you know, 30 days, 60 days, whatever you want to offer. But something to assure a customer who's never heard of your brand that, hey, listen, if I'm going to buy this product, I can feel comfortable that if it doesn't work, I can send it back, right? Most of the time that doesn't happen, but having that offer on the table is super important. So really making this frictionless experience super easy to click and shop and buy now and add to cart, you know, not having too many distractions, but also just bringing as much value as possible to your customer when they land on your site.
Yeah, I think talking about those elements of trust, I totally agree. When you have your own website, like, one of the main frictions is that people, you know, have never shopped from you before. They don't know if they're going to get the product or not. They don't really know, you know, if the payment is going to be a scam. Like, there's always just like elements that, you know, that's why a lot of people is super loyal to, when it comes to shopping on Amazon. And you need to figure out a way to generate that trust somehow within your own kind of bubble, which is your website, right? So I guess when it comes to that, beyond the elements of creating trust and everything, like, how do you also create I guess the consistency of people coming back to your website? Because a lot of times I'm seeing this sometimes across some D2C brands we work with, sometimes they struggle to keep them engaging with the website, then they might jump to a marketplace or they might go and shop somewhere else, and that can disrupt like kind of the experience you can give your D2C kind of ecosystem. So what is your experience when it comes to keeping them engaged with your website, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's many different offers, loyalty programs, discounts that you can offer people. I mean, finding a way to keep people engaged for sure. So retention marketing, like emails, but you know, obviously if you have products or somebody can subscribe, you know, having that option right there, subscribe and save. But yeah, I mean, if you can offer deeper discounts, if you can offer more certain points where people can use those points to save money in the future, things like that, right? Just giving your customers rewards for shopping on your website, that's going to be a huge incentive. And, but yeah, I mean, listen, Amazon obviously is a great platform. Sometimes there is a level of attribution where we do meta ads for clients. Somebody goes on Amazon and buys a product. You can't always measure that, but it's intertwined. So some people just want to buy from marketplaces. But yeah, I mean, listen, if you can keep people engaged in email and SMS and, you know, keep them like a part of your community, people will definitely buy more from your site. But it really just depends on how you keep them engaged.
Yeah, which it gets me to my next point, which is, you know, retargeting at the end of the day. Like, that's a conversation we're having before going live. Like, a lot of people don't really know how to master like Meta Ads or Google, right? And I think with Meta Ads specifically, if you know how to pixel your clients or the visitors successfully, you can be super, super clear in terms of the engagement you do to the platforms to bring them back to your website. So tell us how important you are seeing Meta being in your strategy. Is that something that always has to be part of the mix? Or you see some D2C brands not relying heavily on Meta anymore? What is your take?
Yeah, Meta should always be part of your mix, but really just focus on Meta for top of funnel and middle of funnel. For bottom of funnel, email is where it's at, right? Once they've already bought from you, you have their email, don't waste money on ads, right? Don't waste ad money by retargeting them. That makes zero sense, right? Use SMS, use email, you have their information, right? But if they're top of funnel, if they've never heard of you, if they're middle of funnel, if they're kind of hovering around your site, checking out your website, social media, you know, getting some awareness, do what you can, you know, and offer to get them over the table, right, or over the line. But, you know, yeah, Meta has to be there. I mean, it's the number one platform still today. TikTok is great, obviously, but Meta is still number one. And most people, you know, not just in the US, but around the world, are using Meta to some extent, you know, every month, yeah. Not every day, right? Whether it's Instagram or Facebook and WhatsApp in some parts of the world, but it's very, very important and it still has the best data. So yeah, Meta has to be an important part of your strategy, but it's to your point, figuring out, you know, the right audiences. And then on top of that, you can go from Shopify. Once you have some good audiences, take the audiences and put them back into Meta, you know, build those lookalike audiences once you have those sales. So a lot of it is doing as much as you can to leverage data in Shopify, scaling up on Meta.
Cool. I guess the only question I get a lot when it comes to building the data, the timing associated and the cost involved, right? Because sometimes you have to go to the phase that you're spending money, but not necessarily you might be getting that in the shape of revenue or profitability. So I guess to answer that question, like, how do you usually come across understanding how long it might take you to effectively get a positive return on investment? Like, it's going to be weeks, it's going to be months, it's going to be years. How do you, I know this is going to be very specific to the product, the brand, and the audience, and all of that, but is there some rule of thumb that you use to figure out if, you know, actually assessing yourself and saying, am I actually going the right direction? I'm not, and be able to, you know, fix things from there, you know?
Yeah, no, I think in terms of making sure that you're actually profitable, you know, obviously looking at your margins for sure, there's a lot of possibilities there. But yeah, I mean, it's super important to start small, right? And you can be profitable by starting small. So many of our clients are spending, just starting, $50 a day. That's it. Mm. It's very doable, right? And then once you're getting good results, then you scale up in 60, 70, 80, 100. But that's a good place to start. You can start $50 a day, making sure that you're testing constantly every couple of days, seeing what's working, what's not. Once you're getting some good results, then start ramping that up, right? But you don't need a whole lot to start with. You really don't. And I think that that is a misconception. And $50 is enough to touch me. Obviously, listen, if you have the budget to spend $50,000 a day, then yeah, sure, that's great. But most people don't. So it's, you can start small and just test it and ramp it up and make sure that, you know, when you're acquiring new customers, that your customer acquisition cost is low enough to where it makes sense, right? And if it's not, how do you get that down? You know, and on top of that, you know, if it's not low enough, okay, maybe on the first sale, you might lose some money or at the very least break even. But on that second sale, third sale, fourth sale, then you can get into profitability mode if you have that type of product, right? So understanding your whole equation and what makes sense. But yeah, I mean, if you're doing meta ads, definitely should not be something where you're losing money, at least not for too long.
Cool. You mentioned at the beginning on the customer, like once you get the email, effectively, you know, you can be more aggressive in terms of the way you communicate with them and stop relying too much on top of the funnel. So when it comes to that, like, how do you see email marketing performing these days? Because some people believe that email marketing is dead. Some people say it's back. Some people say it's the best way to really scale a business forward. Some people even do SMS, right? So I guess, what are you seeing in the D2C space? Like, is email marketing still very strong, or you're seeing people changing more toward other channels? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's still very strong. I mean, listen, most people, especially most Americans, are checking their email constantly, all the time, right? Even with spam filters. But at the end of the day, I mean, this is not cold email. This is, you know, an email where, you know, you're subscribed to your favorite brand. You've already bought from your brand. So, you know, most emails are being opened, especially if they're adding value. But yeah, I mean, email marketing works, SMS works, you know, and they are great channels because, like I said, it's not, you know, cold email, it's not cold texting. It's really people who have bought from you, and it's just giving them better offers, getting them back in the door. And once again, it's the most cost effective way to scale, because ads, to your point, can get very expensive. Why? Like I always say, don't waste ad money reacquiring your customers. Save that for email, save that for SMS. It'll save you tons of money.
Cool. And I guess the other thing I would like to bring to the mix is Google, right? I know we're talking Meta, we're talking email marketing. So how does Google come into the mix here? Like, because we're seeing a huge shift towards how people now use Google for shopping. They might start a search on Google to look for top 10 phone cases, top 10 TVs. So they might do some research, and then that's how potentially they might land into your website, which is where potentially other topics, which we can quickly bring to the table, such as, you know, PR releases or blogs, can also be a huge strategy. So has that also been, you know, affecting the performance of some of the brands you're encountering in the D2C space?
Yeah, I mean, Google's a great channel. You know, I still think Meta's better. Google has its place. I mean, Google's similar to Amazon, right? It's like a search marketplace, and people are searching on there. And so it can become like a race to the bottom. It's like a lot of competition. And that's a challenge sometimes, right? So like if you're selling phone cases, so are tons of other people. So it's like you're competing against lots of people for those keywords, for those AdWords. It can get expensive. But if you like a more unique product, maybe Google makes sense just for positioning. But even then, if you're introducing something to the market, right, people are not going to be Googling that. It's so new, right? So it's understanding, okay, listen, like, what is my product? Where am I at? You know, how competitive, how much budget I have? Because yeah, I mean, Google can be very expensive. But yeah, if it's a new product, definitely Google is not great for that. But if it's something that's already in the market and people are searching for it, it could work, but just make sure that you have enough margin there to where it makes sense. Because yeah, I mean, if it's a popular product like a phone case, there's a lot of competition, and does it really make sense to spend $5 to sell a phone case for 10?
Yeah,
probably not, right? So it's understanding what you know, what your margins are and what makes sense.
Cool. Now let's go back to the platforms where these D2C brands are getting built. We have so many options. We have Shopify, WooCommerce, WordPress, and so on. And so many people have, you know, usually preferences over other depending on usually the apps that they encounter or the way the team is structured in terms of the how they do the coding behind the, their websites, right? So at the end of the day, all of them could potentially be effective. But the reality is that after talking to multiple people who specialize in D2C space, there's usually one that keeps coming back, which is usually either, you know, Shopify or WordPress, right? It's usually the main tool that I see coming back. So what is your feedback on those? Like, do you think that is something that you recommend people to test and see which one's a better fit for them? Or you think there's specifically certain ones that are better depending on what you're trying to do?
Yeah, and Shopify is great for direct-to-consumer. You know, WooCommerce, BigCommerce are great for if you like a B2B component. You know, Shopify's B2B is not great at this point, and it can be very expensive. You really can't use their B2B unless you pay for Shopify Plus, which is like $2,500 a month. And if you're an early stage brand, that's a big hit to your P&L. So yeah, understanding kind of what your objective is. Like if you're, you know, B2B, you're looking at some sort of B2B component, BigCommerce and WooCommerce can be good. If you're a D2C, strictly Shopify is really good. There's also like a new platform out there called Shopline, which is big in Asia, you know, Singapore, South Korea, Japan. They're just coming here to North America. And so they have a good USP because for them, you know, it's totally free to use all their apps. It's all built in, right? And the challenge on Shopify is there are many, many merchants that have a very expensive tech stack. It can be sometimes tens of thousands of dollars a month spending on all these apps. But Shopify has many of these apps built in. It's a huge cost savings for merchants, right? So, I mean, that's really one option as well, which is like a newer option here in the U.S. But, yeah, I mean, understanding what your tech stack is going to be because those apps can definitely add up and can be very expensive.
Cool. And I guess the other question I get asked a lot is, you know, how to figure out the right KPIs for success in D2C? Because I feel coming from Amazon, a lot of people only focus on ACOS and ROAS, which sometimes are very top of the surface kind of KPIs. They don't really give you the full picture. And I think in D2C, you have to focus more on, you know, what is the lifetime value of your client? What is your retention and things like that? So what are some of the KPIs you've seen like really making sense to track in D2C? Because I'm sure you have this conversation constantly and you have figured out the ones that give you the best lead indicator. So what is your take on that?
Yeah, I think MRR in terms of like overall growth for sure is important. I mean, obviously ROAS, LTV, but it's like looking at overall growth because like I said, it's like Amazon is a great platform. It's the number one marketplace and I'm like a big Amazon shopper. Many people, and I'm the same way, will see an ad like on Meta, see an ad on TikTok, see something on social media, go and buy it like on Amazon, right? And it's hard to make the attribution, but it's there and it exists. So understanding when you're looking at overall growth, because it might not be just ROAS or for Meta ads. Meta is great for awareness. You know, I might see an ad, then I go to Amazon and I can buy it. That's one thing. But for sure, lifetime value, retention, what is your repeat order rate? How many people are repeating, you know, and if it's not that high, how do we get that to a higher number? Because like I said, there's a lot of, you know, possibilities, lots of potential there as well.
Cool. And I guess the other question I also wanted to ask you is when it comes to reporting, right, and really figure out your analytics, you know, especially in the D2C space, you're going to find that some platform, like for example, Shopify, might be very top of the surface in terms of the metrics that you might need to really understand what is going on. So is there any tools that you recommend to connect to your D2C site that can give you more insights when it comes to, you know, what is actually happening with your D2C brand?
Yeah, I mean, Triple Whale is a great tool for sure. I mean, they give you all the data all the way around. But obviously within like the Meta Ads Manager within Shopify, there's a lot of good data there, right? And Shopify, what I love about Shopify, really good data. You know, I can tell you the exact attribution, where customers are coming from. Are they from Meta? Are they from somewhere else? So, but yeah, I mean, Triple Whale in terms of like overall data, in terms of seeing where people are, you know, are shopping, their overall growth definitely gives you tons of value.
Cool. Okay. And I guess now the other thing is going back to the advertising side of things. This is something I actually just remembered that I got asked a lot. So when it comes to the you know, creating the audiences and everything to effectively become more accurate in terms of targeting a specific audience, do you see, you know, we're talking about how you could potentially upload emails and how you could potentially upload data to those Meta ad campaigns to effectively start with a base, right, and start it from scratch. From your experience, does it make sense sometimes buying like a list of emails or anything or audiences that you can preload? Like, let's say you don't want to start from scratch, but you know you're selling yoga mats, so potentially you find audiences that have to do with yoga, even if they haven't seen your brand before. Do you see the kind of approaches working, or you always recommend starting from scratch when it comes to creating your audience? Yeah,
definitely start from scratch. That approach is typically very challenging to scale because, you know, it's hard to know, and you know, data is always changing. So you can even start with broad targeting and also run a campaign in parallel, and you can test different audiences, right? So you always want to be testing. So you have one campaign. If it's broad, if it's working on the back end, test something more specific, right? And so even if, you know, your campaign is crushing on the back end, you know, 25%, you always want to be testing new things. So yeah, buying emails, buying data, I don't recommend it because data is always changing and it very well might not be relevant. You know, listen, Meta's data as is actually really good. As I said earlier, it's really good. And so, you know, you can find different audiences and people based on interest and age and location. That's, you know, very effective. And understanding that, you know, is super important because, yeah, buying email lists, buying any data, I haven't seen that work. Maybe it does for some people, but I've never seen that work in my case.
Cool. And I guess to start coming to a closure on today, I mean, we've already been talking about advertising. We're talking about platforms. We're talking about, you know, the KPIs, engagement. Like, what are things you feel we haven't touched on today that you think would be beneficial for audience when it comes to the D2C side of things?
Well, for sure, average order value is super important. You know, it's something where, you know, what can you do to get your customers to spend more at checkout in the shopping cart? If you have one product, okay, push them to get a bundle of two or three. If you have multiple products, seeing which products using AI or other tools to get some good upsells going in the shopping cart, because that is a huge value add. And especially in D2C, right, so many brands, and you know, most, like every brand should have a certain threshold for free shipping, right? If it's 50 or 100, depending on your product. Okay, so if someone has $30 in their cart, what can you offer them to get them to that $50 number? Then maybe increase to 60, 70. I mean, what can you do to really make sure that you're profitable, getting your customers to spend more? But yeah, raising that free shipping threshold, creating offers, bundles, etc., because there's a lot of opportunity and value in the shopping cart with upsells and cross-sells.
Yeah, which I think is one of the beauties of having your own websites. Like, at the end of the day, you can be very clever with everything that you do throughout the checkout and through the after checkout or while they're browsing. Like, you can gamify the whole thing to the point that you can, you know, ensure you get the most out of a transaction, right? So I guess to conclude on this point, is there some things you feel working the most when it comes to the upsell? What I mean is, it's usually a coupon towards checkout the most effective, or a pop-up, or a follow-up email. What are some of the things you see working the most? Yeah,
the best upsells I see are right in the shopping cart, you know, right then and there. Because, you know, when somebody's checking out, you say, hey, listen, by the way, add this product to get free shipping. It'll put you over this threshold. Or add this product. This product, similar to how Amazon does, this product goes well with this product, right? But in the shopping cart is the best. But of course, you know, once somebody buys, shoot them an email and, you know, thank them, ask them for a review, welcome them to your team, right, to your group. Those things are super valuable. Yeah, I mean, if you want to get cross-sells and upsells, the shopping cart is the best opportunity.
Cool. Awesome. So I think the conversation has been, you know, very insightful. I'm sure, you know, it's only the tip of the iceberg, as they call it, like when it comes to this. And I'm sure some people might want to have a deeper conversation, like more technical, like figuring out how they can tailor this to a specific Amazon brand or e-commerce business in general. So I know that's why you guys specialize in things. So tell us more about, you know, how people can find you, how people can reach out to you or talk to your team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on LinkedIn and Instagram, X, Dan P. Melnick. You can find me there, or just Dan Melnick on LinkedIn. And then, yeah, I mean, myzing.io is our website, so you can find us there as well. But yeah, Dan Melnick, I'm very active on social media.
Thank you. I'm going to make sure for everybody watching and hearing this to put everything on in the description below. Other than that, Dan, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for the knowledge. And hopefully I get to see you soon at some of the upcoming events. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Sounds for being great. Here. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. Pleasure. Bye-bye. Awesome.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.